It's Christmas! It's nearly Christmas. I'm not sure when I'll release this, actually, but near Christmas. So happy Christmas to all our lovely listeners.
Thank you so much for joining us over this year. 2023 has been amazing, and we're so looking forward to what 2024 is going to bring.
So I was excited to find someone like a free birth story around Christmas, because it's kind of something like we've tried to do before. So we asked, didn't we? We asked like, who's had a free birth like near Christmas?
Yeah, and then
we
had,
we had a few people come back, and then Andrina answered the call and then told us her amazing story. But what I love is, well, you'll find out when you listen to this. It's just not Christmassy at all, is it?
No. Could be any time of year, apart from it's a bit cold.
Yeah, it's just like, no, I mean, it's just me. And I just had this image of like, oh yeah, we'll have a birth story and people can just be wrapping their presents and like listening. Yeah. And then we kind of got into it. And I just thought, this is just a wonderful, normal, boring free birth story, but it's not at all.
It's perfect. It's ideal.
It is. It'll serve me right thinking that just because it was a certain time of year, it was going to make it a certain kind of story. But never mind. But I'm not selling it though, but it's an amazing story. Like I think she's been one of my favourite. Can I say that? I feel a bit bad saying that.
Yeah,
but it's just because she told it so well and she's so matter of fact and there's no nonsense. I love that about this story.
There's no like hesitation either. I love that she's just straight. She just knows what she knows.
Yeah.
And there's just so much confidence. There's no messing around, but she's so like not in your face about it. Yeah. I really love chatting with Andrina.
Yeah. It was really, really great. She had a really great.
Funny.
She was hilarious. It was so funny. Yeah. So this is a really great episode for like, if you're just like cooking and you're wrapping your gifts, this is a great one to stick on. Yeah. So without further ado, let's get into the episode and we listen to the sort of not so festive free birth story of Andrina's. Andrina, welcome to the podcast. Thanks so much for joining us for this festive episode and for answering our call when we did a little shout out asking for births that were kind of around Christmassy time. Would you like to introduce yourself and share a bit with our listeners?
Yeah, no, thank you for having me for starts. Obviously, I've seen your birth and it's just weird to be kind of here now. So yeah, I just really appreciate it. It's brilliant. So my name's obviously Andrina. I am a mum of one beautiful little girl, born December 19th last year, so 2022. I have my own business. I work from home. I am a tattooist, microblader, so, you know, my whole life was kind of designed to be around the home, because I've actually got some rescue animals. So I've got five horses and three dogs and two cats and three alpacas and chickens.
Oh, wow. You know,
the life's busy.
But
yeah.
Oh God, yeah, I forgot. I think we had a little look at who kind of got back to us when we asked about a kind of festive date of a birth. And I saw that you did tattooing and thought like, oh, amazing. But like, yeah.
Because you're a tattooist as well, aren't you?
I am, yes. Yeah, in like kind of part-time, well, pretty part-time these days, to be fair. But yes, yeah. I still do it. And it was my previous life kind of main job. I just enjoy it still. So I do a bit still. But yeah, no, exciting. So kind of, I don't know, we'll have some similarities of at least what we know.
yes,
amazing. Oh well, yeah, well, I'm so excited to hear your story. So where feels like a good place to start for you?
Probably you know, talking about my mum when she had me, my birth if you like, was so traumatic for my mum. She just kept saying to me, whatever you do, just don't have an epidural. I was back to back, and she believes now on hindsight the reason that she had to be cut from front to back, and I was basically just dragged out, was because she just couldn't move. You know, there was no instinctive movement there anymore. And after hearing that, and obviously with the kind of with the job that we do, you know, you're speaking to women all the time. And I love learning about people. I love being, you know, I'm so interested in people's lives. And I always, even before being pregnant, I would always be like, oh, have you got children? How many children? What was your birth like? And I just started to recognize that there was this trend of interference and lack of what's the word, like believing in the woman. There was no belief in the process naturally anymore. There was always some form of intervention along the process. You know, you're too small, you're too big, you're too this, you're too that. There's something wrong here, there's something wrong there.
Oh yeah.
And then there would be some form of intervention, and it would be like most of them were having C-sections, or most of them had, you know, some kind of traumatic story. And I thought, this can't be, you know, like we can't have got through generations to here, all of us alive as people, do you know, like,
yeah,
you know, and it be this bad a success rate, like just not logical anymore.
Yeah, we just wouldn't be here, would we?
Didn't make sense.
No. Anyway, when I met my partner 5.5 years ago, he did not want children, and I have always been really maternal. And I think really it stems from, like, we won't go down it, but just, you know, his kind of home life before. But I, you know, I love him, and I said to him, whatever, you know, as long as we can be together, then fair enough. And then our friends had children, and then he came home drunk one night, and he was like, I think we should have kids. Oh. And I was like, I think we should wait until you tell me when we're sober.
Yes.
So 6 months later, and he still wanted to have children, and I was like, okay, so you're really on board with this. And I came off the copper coil, and 3 months later, there was Rose. Well, we didn't know that, obviously, at that point. But I knew very early on. It was only a week and a half. And my boobs were aching, and we were sat outside with the horses. And I'd just dyed my hair, so I've got this, like, mop of green mess on and cling film wrapped round.
Yep.
And I'm sat outside in the sun with Jamie, and I said, Jamie's my partner, and I said, my boobs are killing, really, really hurting. So in Andrina fashion, I just whacked my boobs out, and I was looking at them, and I was like, they're leaking.
Oh, no way.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. So it was only, you know, really minute, but nothing like that had ever happened before.
Wow.
That's so cool.
So then I didn't dare do a pregnancy test, because it was so early on. I thought, what if it comes back negative because, you know, the whatever the trace is not, like, strong enough to like show me a positive reading. And I really didn't want to get not a positive reading because I knew, you know. Anyway, 2 hours later, I couldn't wait any longer. I did two.
You did two? Yeah, I remember doing two quite quickly,
Yeah, and they were the cheapest ones ever, just like an Amazon, you know, like a pack of, like, however many there were.
Yeah.
Anyway, they both came back positive. Really, really, really faint.
Ooh.
A couple of weeks later, I did the clear blue one just so that I could get a gauge for time. But I'm just a really interested person. Like, I used to work on the ambulance service, so although I'm, like, kind of science-y, I still am spiritual as well. And I've been doing ovulation tests because I just got really interested in, you know, like, when I might ovulate, what time, you know, how long after my period was that, and all that kind of stuff. So I'd done these ovulation tests, and apparently I ovulate only a couple of days after I finish my period. So that kind of connects on to when I then went to go and have my first scan. And so I kind of just started off in the normal way, you know, like rang the doctor, told them that I was pregnant. They booked me in for a blood test so that I could be tested to make sure that the pregnancy test was correct. And I was, and I went for this scan. And they said, you're not 12 weeks, you're 13 weeks.
Oh.
So I was like, well, that's physically impossible, because I would have had to have conceived while I was bleeding. You know?
Yeah.
It's just not, that doesn't make sense. Anyway, I thought, whatever. I don't believe you guys anyway. I'm just kind of rolling with the motions because I thought that that's what you had to do. So So I had this scan. They said 13 weeks. So my due date was the 20th of December, 2022. Mm-hmm. And obviously I had her on the 19th. So as far as the NHS, you know, they were only one day out. But really, I think I was a week early.
Oh, you know? Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, doesn't really matter, does it? Really don't matter. But because of the social stigma on it, you end up like having this kind of, I don't know, ideal, not ideal. What's the word? You know, just when my baby, in quotes, should be arriving.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah. Yeah.
It's cringe when you think of it. Anyway. Mm. So yeah. So had that scan. And then I was having maternity appointments, obviously. And each time I was going in, I'd been doing so much research. And the midwives were just like, I don't know the answers to those questions. You're going to have to let me come back to you.
you were going above a bit, above and beyond.
Yeah, but I always do. That's just me. I just, you know, I want to be 150% into something if I'm in it. I never really got much friction with the midwives. I think because I went in armoured with so much information that sometimes they were like, whoa, I don't know the answer to this. I then had my second scan and everything was all hunky-dory. And then you have the fundal height measurement on the next one, don't you? At the next appointment. And I said to Jamie, I was like, you know, when I'm laid there and they're feeling me and whatnot, they have been very gentle, but it was always an apprehension before my arrival. You know, as long as they only touched my belly like how I would touch my belly, that's fine, because I feel like, you know, like energetically, there's only really love passed through that. You know, but poking and prodding for, you know, for a real feel, you know, really like molding and things. I just think, whoa, too delicate. Do you know, don't need that. She don't need that. It doesn't need that. Because obviously we didn't know what she was. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so they did a fundal height measurement and she measured too small. So this was kind of, I think this was like the pinnacle of my big change of heart, even though I really wasn't kind of with it in the first place, but this was like where I was like, whoa. So too small. I got an appointment the same day for a scan in the afternoon. So my appointment was 1 o'clock and I had a scan at 4 o'clock. So fundal height at one, scan at four, fundal height too small, scan too big.
Oh no way.
Okay.
God. So then I was like, what are the statistics on this? So obviously, like, they shared that with me and whatnot. And then I went away and my partner was just like, because if you met him, he's just like, bullshit. Do you know, it's just all bullshit. He's very much, you know, you've got a baby inside of you, you instinctively know, but I'm just saying bullshit. So we came home and I did a load of Googling. I found out about the fetal tissue is heated up by being scanned.
Oh, yes, that lovely bit of information that people don't like to hear about ultrasound or Doppler. Yeah, ultrasonic technology.
Oh, yeah, we refused the Doppler. We refused the Doppler before this. So they were using the Picard.
Okay. Yeah. So they were actually listening to your belly.
Yeah. And I found that really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Almost like a kind of like, well, they all look different, but they can look like a stethoscope or like an ear trumpet kind of tube thing. They just literally no technology to that at all. It is just listening. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Because I was like, what's the point? You know, like if she says that there's a heartbeat, what do I need to hear it for? Mm-hmm. I know that obviously some people think it's lovely and whatnot, but if there's an element of risk that comes from that, that's just selfish, in my opinion.
Yeah, you know? Well, it's a snapshot in time too. You know, I always found that bizarre of like listening to the heartbeat. It's like, oh, great, okay, it was cool for that moment and now I'm gone now. And now who knows what they're doing, you know? That's kind of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we've done this research and whatnot, and we'd already been booked in for another scan 2 weeks later because obviously our baby was big.
Yeah.
Bearing in mind, sorry, I've missed a bit. So after the scan of baby was big, we were then stuck in the hospital because I had to have blood tests because of gestational diabetes risk because of the big baby, and we sat in there and I was pretty calm. Luckily, like, I'm not affected by these things, but I was speaking to my partner and just saying, how lucky is it that we aren't affected in the way that some other women would be? Because if it was someone else, they would be so apprehensive right now thinking, fuck, what if? You know?
What if?
And I just thought, well, if it is, I will learn how to manage this. Do you know, like, whatever it is, I'll just learn how to adapt. It's not going to be an issue. We will work it out, you know? But I didn't see a problem with having a blood test personally. I just thought, you know, it's just a little bit of blood out of me. It's not neither here nor there. It's kind of nice to know. But then I did just hear the podcast that you guys did about gestational diabetes and the midwife. And I was like, you know, if I was to be in that position again, the way that she approached it would definitely be the way that I approached it. But you can only do with what the information you have at the time, can't you?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, definitely.
So we're in the hospital and we have the tests and whatnot. And obviously then you've got to leave and you don't know and there's so long and da da da. And we had an appointment in between that, just with the midwife, in between having the too big one and then the next checkup, if that makes sense. So we went in and we said to this lady, you know, like, we're thinking about not having any more scans. We've done the research and, you know, we were not informed that there is a risk to our baby in the way that we've read up. And, you know, we feel as if we should be able to take that judgment on ourselves and decide for ourselves. And she was an arse.
Put it
politely.
Oh dear.
Basically, if you don't have this scan, you are risking you're risking basically a dead baby, right?
Wow.
So I let her harp on, and then I told her that I was actually having a home birth. Because at this point we didn't even know that free birth was really a thing, or I didn't know the title of it,
okay,
per se. But anyway, so I'm saying, you know, I'm pretty well equipped. Every single midwife that I come up to, I always say, like, what would your kind of like key? What do I need to know? Facts, you know. So I'm getting the information from every single midwife that I'm seeing, and she was just like, seriously, you are risking shoulder dystocia. You're risking breaking your shoulders, breaking the shoulder of the baby, blah, blah.
Baby's like collarbone. Yeah, yeah. To get them out, they say, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I let her ramble on. And then at the end of it, I said, do you realise that it's midwives like you that completely remove the instinctive knowing and the belief in oneself to be able to actually birth a baby? If I wasn't the kind of person that I am, you know, I'm quite probably stubborn would be the word, but, you know, like, I knew that I could birth a baby. I know that I can do that. That's what I'm designed for. I'm a female human being. That is my, you know, design. And I know that obviously there's a small percentage of people where it can go wrong, but I just felt that I knew I could. And I said, if I didn't know that, you would have completely ruined that. And by the time I go into labour, I'd be so frightened. I'd have so much adrenaline going through my body. Giving me any oxygenated blood to my uterus. It would be all to my arms and legs. I'd be in fight and flight, which is the complete opposite of delivering my baby. So what kind of state do you think you're putting other women in by doing this?
God, I love that you said that. God. I mean, I hate that you had to and that you felt the need to say that, because, you know, you shouldn't be pushed to that point. But, oh, my God, to be a fly on the wall. What did she say to you?
Well, she looked at me, actually, and I think I gave her a little bit of a light bulb moment, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
I don't know, obviously. I never seen the lady again. But I'd seen another midwife and she rang me up after this appointment and just said, you know, we've seen on your notes that you've said that you don't want to come in for another scan. Is everything okay? Yeah. And I said, I'm fine. You know me. I mean, she only met me once, but I was like, you know me, I'm fine. But I said, that midwife, like, she's not putting any belief in any women for being able to do what mm-hmm. they should feel that they are capable of doing.
Yeah.
Anyway, she said, don't worry, Andrina, I'll make sure you don't have her again.
Mm-hmm. So, well, that's something, isn't it? But yeah, God, it's so, like, it's a lottery, isn't it, as to who you're going to talk to and what they're like. But and like, just to circle back to your research that you found out about ultrasound, because, like, I don't know if it's come up really in too many of our episodes before, but I, you know, I've written about it a little bit online, and I know other birth workers have, and it's pops up now and again. But it just is that fact of it, that the safety of ultrasound use isn't evidence-based. It's not been ever proven to be safe. It's something that's such a strong diagnostic tool that it will never not be used, but it's only being used on the basis that they say that there's no evidence to show it's harmful and that there are no human studies to show that. There are animal studies that absolutely show that it affects cells and it affects, like, the migration of cells. And like you said, it heats up tissue and then it creates little air bubbles. There are lots that's, like, it's very unknown as to what the long-term effect of that might be, but the fact is there's an effect, then we should be told about that. And that there are human studies that exist in China, so you can read about that if you want to, and you can really delve into that. But there are absolutely studies that have been done on women who were going to abort their babies, so therefore put themselves forward to have their baby studies. And there was I read this semi-recently, which is why it's fresh in my mind, but there was definitely results that showed that it changed growth in, like, eyes and organs and parts of the baby. And it was changing them on a cellular level. And the fact is, like, if we made a decision to go, right, I want to find something out about my baby and I feel it's relevant, so I will take that risk knowing it's a risk, that's one thing. But to not be informed or told. And, like, if you look at, like, I went down that rabbit hole, and, like, our government website in the UK has a warning about it, but we are not told that when we go into a medical setting. Same in America. I think the FDA talk about it and warn about it too, but it's not widely talked about. They're just like, and even like, oh, it's like, oh, we'll just reassuringly look at your baby. And it's like, well, it's not reassuringly if you're blasting it with something that I don't know how it might affect it.
Yeah. Completely blissfully unaware, just thinking it's a photograph.
Yeah, definitely. It's absolutely not. We don't know the extent of it. No, exactly. It should be an informed choice. I just want to, like, elaborate on that a little bit. And then if it worries you, like, you want to look up, there's a book called 50 Human Studies by Jim West. And it's a real compelling read, but I hate that we're not told about that.
I just wrote it down. I will.
Yeah, you should have a look at it. It's really, it doesn't make for a great read because it's quite unsettling, but I think the more we know, the better a decision we can make that feels right for us. And that's not to say that some might still decide to have that information, and that's fine. But I think, because I certainly had scans for the sake of almost keeping someone else happy. And I would not have done that had I known that it could have some impact. But I just wanted to go back on that. Sorry to interrupt your story.
That's a good
one to raise. But how far along are you around this time then? So when they're kind of talking small baby, actually big baby, and then you're coming to the point now of like, do you know what? I don't want to do these scans. What's that kind of weeks?
I was around about 24, 25 weeks, I think.
Okay, cool.
But the midwife, funnily enough, the midwife who got rid of the arsey one, she actually was pregnant. She was really interested in talking to me about home births and whatnot. She'd had a C-section her previous baby.
Yeah.
And she ended up coming round to mine on one of the home visits before she went off on maternity leave. And she stayed for 3 hours.
No.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
I gave her a piercing.
Did you?
And we chatted about, she'd had this doctor told her that, like, no moving, you cannot move, and you're gonna have to have another C-section because I don't know, I might not get this completely right, but it was something like the placenta is in the way and it's not going to move. And I said, well, I'm no scientist, but like that just makes no sense. Movement helps the body get in the right place.
Mm.
You know, maybe like aggressive movement, maybe not, but gentle movement, like surely there's more information that you can get on that. And that was kind of like the umbrella. Like obviously the conversation was 3 hours long. So,
wow.
You know, we really went to town, but she ended up taking my mobile number off the system, which she probably shouldn't have done, but she did. And she messaged me a month before I had Rose to say, I just want to say I had a home birth. I had an NHS. I had a private midwife because I didn't want an NHS one. I just want to say that you gave me the, you know, courage to feel like I could do this. So I was like,
amazing.
Yes, that's my little thing.
Cool. Oh, that is so nice because it like lovely. Everything. Oh my God, I love that because it's just like that's such a beautiful example, isn't it, of just like women supporting women. And that was almost like it didn't matter that she was a midwife. Yeah, it was just like you were having that exchange of like your kind of wisdom and her situation. And oh my God, I love that. And you also know that some asshole told her then that her placenta was low, it wouldn't move. If she had a home birth and it was fine, I mean, like it would be, so if your placenta covers your cervix completely, which is super rare, and that's like placenta previa, but then if it's low lying, it's absolutely gonna move upwards because your uterus gets bigger and it moves up. And it will, because it's like people draw a dot on the bottom of a balloon, don't they, online, and then they inflate it and it like the dot moves because it's going to move if you get bigger. So, yeah, she was obviously being told some bullshit too. So
God. They diagnose it so early, don't they? They like they often do it like 24-ish weeks. It's like, yeah, we've got so much more time
absolutely
for your YouTube to expand.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, how amazing.
That actually reminds me.
Yeah.
Sorry, that reminds me as well. At my 12-week, 13-week, whatever you want to call it, appointment, he said to me, can you just lift your hips up? Because I can't quite see her because she was really low in my pelvis.
Oh, yeah.
So he said, I've got my hips up and I'm shimmying them about so that he can see her. Which no one has, so I'm laughing about it because of what I'm about to tell you, but on hindsight, like I'm just disturbing poor babies, like little, you know, comfy sack, aren't I? But I went into the toilet because he couldn't see where my placenta was. So I went into the toilet and I did a handstand to lift everything up. And when I came back in, he was like, oh, I can see it clearly. And I said, well, I went and did a, because I said to him, I'll do a handstand in here if you want. And they were like, oh, no, we can't do that. So I was like,
oh,
okay.
No.
So I went out.
Oh my God. Yeah. Don't let you do and it then, in a room. Go to the loo and do it. Christ.
Yeah, and my placenta was like on the like you know, on this scale or whatever, and they were like, oh, we're gonna have to check that because it's low lying and blah, blah. But they did explain to me that it's very unlikely that it'll stay there and it'll probably move and blah blah blah. So I did feel like shared the information, but it's probably because I'm a woman of many whys.
I love that. Whilst
they were asking me all this, but like I say, you know, on hindsight, I, you know, would maybe not have shaken my body about, but I was still doing handstands at home, and I'm quite an active person.
Impressive, so yeah, crikey.
Maybe need.
I don't think I've done a handstand in my life. Yeah.
I've completely lost where I am.
Oh, sorry. So you've just done a handstand. You've just had your scan. So, yeah, you were at a point you were saying where, so, yeah, you saw someone who wasn't very supportive and they said you're never going to see her again. Did you then end up having further scans or did you?
No.
Yeah, just didn't do it? Yeah.
No, no more fundal height measurements, no more scans. I only allowed them to listen with the Picard. Mm-hmm. And like me and my partner were saying, and obviously, I wish that I'd known about you guys before, because I only have known about you guys after having my free birth.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which is like, anyway, I believe everything happens for a reason, so it happened for whatever reason.
Definitely.
But we'd had this, like, conversation of we kind of need to keep them sweet, you know, which I've heard you say so many times. It's like, oh, why do we feel we need to kind of appease
it? It works as well, though. Like,
it
sometimes
does.
I think we do need to do that to keep, you know, keep people off our backs, play the game a bit, and then you can just do what you need to do.
Hello, I'm here. I'm alive. I look well, don't I? Yeah. Bye.
So, yeah, you can be smart about it, sure. Yeah, I think like you got to do what works for you and your setup. Yeah, but it's a shame we have to, you know, we feel that way. But it is a decision as to like, yeah, for many, it's like this kind of balance of like, do I do things or do I do them later? Or do I have the stress of wondering if they don't like what I'm doing? Or, you know, yeah, do I tick a few boxes? Or, and it's such a personal call on all of that. Yeah. But yeah.
I mean, every appointment I was like, I'm having her at home. Like, whether you guys are there or not, I'm having her at home. You know, so, and they were like, oh, well, what about if somebody doesn't arrive? So I was like, well, then that's your fault, isn't it? You didn't get there, did you? So yeah, I was quite blasé about it, and I think they just knew with kind of my delivery of, you know, well, I'm having her at home, so, you know.
Yeah. Was there ever any kind of like language that was cautionary around that? Did you get any pressure about, you know, don't do that?
No, I was actually informed that apparently there's been a recent study, or this was obviously when I was pregnant, so 2 years of previous to my pregnancy, they'd done a study, and apparently the statistics were that you were more likely to have I don't know if I'm saying this right, but an unintervened with birth if you've had it at home.
Yeah, or even if
you just planned a home birth.
That's it,
You're more likely to not have any intervention. That's the one.
Yeah, you'll be talking about like there's the Lancet, it's like a peer review or something, but there's like 500,000 births in it, I know, that were all planned to be at home. Yeah, and that's the one that so many online pull those stats from, that it just massively reduces all the intervention rates of so many things. And that's only, it seemed just planning it, yeah.
Yeah, and I found that out though from my midwife, which I was really happy with, you know, I felt like that was pretty supportive. But that was the lady who went to then have her baby. That was that lady.
Yeah, she was she was already kind of going down that path herself a bit.
Yeah, had no more scans. And then I'd had this lady come, and so it was that lady who came to do my home birth checkover type of thing. And she arrived and she just went, well, obviously, I'm supposed to come here, aren't I? But, you know, I know you kind of know everything. So there's just like the basics. And she pulled her paperwork out and it was just like, you know, definitely don't do's and, you know, things to kind of look out for. But I'd already asked those questions so many times every single one that I just want to gain knowledge, you know. So anyone who's got like tips and tricks or whatever of things I needed to know, I wanted to know it.
Yeah, like, did you go to appointments still? So you were turning down, like, scans and stuff, but did you continue to, like, go in and stuff, just do the kind of, you carried on with that, like, timeline?
Like I say, that was just to not create friction.
Sure. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, totally.
Me and Jamie had been saying, you know, we're going to definitely have this home birth. The midwife staff had said that, you know, there is a likelihood that somebody can't attend. And then we were discussing that and I was saying, like, I just really, just the thought of anybody kind of like knocking, being like, hi, are you okay? Can I just check your temperature? Or can I just check your like blood pressure? Or can I just had this like real ick feeling of fuck off, get off me, you know? Leave me alone. But I had that feeling from, like I say, like quite early on, really, anyway. And even when we were discussing about the midwives coming, it was like they can come into the house, but they have to stay in the kitchen. Like they're not allowed to come near me. They can only come near me if I say, Jamie, I need them, you know. He was going to be like my barrier, you know. I'm doing my thing, you're my defense, so do not let anyone near me, kind of thing. But even that just felt like the wrong energy in the house. You know, like I didn't want Jamie on defense. I wanted Jamie to, you know, be my, obviously, like my guardian, if you like, for the birth, but not as if he needed to try and keep, because they'll hear me if I'm a loud birther and they'll want to be like, is everything okay? And even me just hearing that, I just had this like image of, I was playing it over in my head before the day came, and I was just saying to Jamie, like, if that happens, I know that I'm just going to lose my shit and I'm just going to be like, get out of my house, leave me alone, I do not want disturbing. I'm trying to like go inward and work out what the hell my body needs to do in order to deliver this baby safely. And you're asking me questions like, I don't need to appease you. Piss off. You know, I already had that. Tension. Definitely. So then we just decided, well, the best thing to do is to not ask them to come. You know,
was that a decision then? Was that something that you kind of, you'd settled on and you'd, you kind of gone through that journey and then you'd really landed on like your, the whole process that you're talking through and you kind of knew then, did you? And it was it something you were starting to look at? Like, were you kind of looking into free birth? Had you done any kind of work around that, or it was just
No, I just knew a girl I used to go to school with. She now lives in Manchester. She's called Ruby Perry. And she did a free birth. And my brother's ex-girlfriend was like, Andrina, this is so up your street. It's real like earthy and like da-da-da. You should totally watch it. And she'd put her birth online and she had like a teepee in the garden. It was all beautiful.
I know who that is. Yes.
You know her.
I know of her. I think I've seen beautiful pictures and videos of her birth because she posted so much online. And when you say teepee and everything, I think I've got that image. But amazing. That's so good.
So, you know, in an ideal world, and probably if it was summer, I was really leaning towards being outside. Because obviously I'm quite an outdoorsy person. Being in the field with the horses or something, just being where I love. Loads of oxytocin and all that kind of stuff. And but it was December and cold. And I wanted to be warm. So, yeah, because she'd done this and she'd sent me this video and I said to Jamie, I was like, well, clearly it's legal. Do you know, like, I don't have to ring the hospital. Nope. So at the next appointment, I was more kind of like, so, you know, when you were discussing about, like, not being able to attend, you know, maybe to the midwives, you know, where does that kind of leave me? And they were like, well, we don't really advocate for it, you know, like it's not ideal if there's ever any problems. And she was, you don't like this either, nice. She was nice.
I love how people know now, they're a bit more primed.
But no, she was fairly decent. She again, I just think, you know, it said in my notes, like, Home birth. This woman will not be swayed, type of thing. and she just said, you know, obviously we don't advocate for it, but it's not illegal. The only thing that's legal is that you have to declare the birth of your child, you know? So we came home from that and we were just like, okay, so our plan of action is that we're going to do this on our own. And if we at any point felt like we were out of our depth, more me obviously saying to Jamie, something feels wrong in my body, I now need help or assistance, that is what it is there for. So I just said to Jamie, you know, like, we've still got a phone, we can still call emergency services if that comes about, but the likelihood I think is like zil. But, you know, we've got that as our backup. That's like the plan. So we bought a birthing pool, or more to the point, Jamie's mum and dad bought us a birthing pool.
Oh, nice.
And we had that set up in the baby's bedroom because I didn't know what I was really going to want. I didn't know if I've been in the bath loads during my pregnancy. Like, that was my safe haven. It just lifted, you know, you get heavy, don't you? And you just feel lighter. You know, just typical water, it just feels just relaxing, doesn't it? So I had this idea that I wanted a water birth, but I wasn't trying to get too hung up on anything. I just thought instinctively my body will just know whatever it needs to do, wherever I need to be, it'll just tell me. So we had a shower curtain for the bedroom so that I could either be like in the bedroom or in the bathroom or in her room with the pool. So I had like a few options, or I could be in the living room or whatever. Do you know, I'm not really bothered about making a mess. It can easily be tidied up if that's the case. And yeah, so we had that up for ages and I was just kind of on my birth ball. And I sang, I love to sing. So I was like singing to her a lot in the bath and I was just saying to Jamie, like, I'm feeling pretty heavy now. I wouldn't mind if she came, you know, but I want her to cook as long as she needs to cook. Like, I don't want to rush her out, like, you know, whenever.
Yeah.
And I was having these lovely, like, raspberry teas and things. Mm. And, yeah, and then obviously the birth date came.
Can I ask a couple, yes, of things before we get into that? I really, yes, want to get into that. So Jamie, was he okay with the fact that you wanted to free birth? What were his kind, yes, of reactions to that? He was happy with that, was he? Yeah?
Yeah. He really, so not to kind of go into it, but we you know, maybe conspiracy theories, maybe a bit far, but we question a lot of things.
Open-minded, so, free, know, thinkers. That's what I like, rather than conspiracy, yeah, theories.
Yeah. 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 I'm not, I never say no completely, yeah. Yeah. But I want to know a bit more. And, like, he doesn't like being in the hospital. He thinks, mm-hmm, it's all a bit kind of, you know, too medicalized and not really. They've only got one way of thinking, and that is, yeah, like, what drug saves this person, which, yeah, is great, and it is necessary at times, and, you know, I'm not kind of coming away from that, but, mm-hmm, we were not at that point, you know. Yeah. We were nowhere, yeah, near that. We're both fit and healthy. We look after ourselves. We've got good diet. We're both fit, you know, physically. So, you know, if we needed anything, that's what 999's there for in, like, life, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Never mind, mm-hmm, when you're giving birth. So, yeah, he was fully on board. He was just, whatever you think, whatever, you know, as long as you feel happy, that's fine. Mm-hmm. You know me, I'd rather not be in the hospital. That was,
oh, I love that. I love, yeah, that trust. I hear too many women talk about, like, it's really kind of, it comes from a lovely place, but, like, their partner being quite insistent that they at least do something or try something because they're worried about them. And then, yeah, what we can end up doing, mm-hmm, is, like, going against what we want to do because we want to kind of please our partner a bit. Yeah. Mm. And then that's, yeah, a real tricky dynamic, but it's, yeah, great. Yeah, you're on a similar wavelength.
I think because I'm really, like, key communication. So, like, my whole life is, like, I don't want to be misinterpreted, and I always want, like, thorough understanding. Where right from the beginning, it was like we read a hypno book together. I'm, yeah, kind of flitting a little bit as I'm remembering stuff, so I am,
right,
sorry.
That's all right. That's just life.
Yeah, so we, like, read a hypno book together, and, you know, pinning Jamie down is like a workaholic. So, you know, Jamie, we are reading this book tonight. Yeah, I need to do this. And it was like, right, sit on your hiney. We are reading this book now. So we read through to, like, so far, and then found out some other bits elsewhere. And in the end, you know, it was more I was researching through the day, and then I just spend the evening just spilling out all this stuff of, like, everything that I'd kind of learned through the day. Like, oh, did you realize that if, like, I'm in any kind of fight and flight, like, all the oxytocin is, like, depleted by the adrenaline, and then it goes to, like, my limbs, and then, like, I might feel, like, more cramping in my uterus, so I might, like, be more painful, so I need to be, like, kissed and cuddled and loved, and maybe even have an orgasm during birth, you know.
Oh, God, I love that. I've just got visions of, like, there are so many partners out there that have this, like, whether they want it or not, thorough, deep birth education.
Yeah. They want it or not. Yeah.
They need their own
life. And he was always really interested. It's just time with him, you know, need more hours in a day.
We need to do a men's free birth circle for the partners, or like a partner's free birth circle, so they can get together and go, like, are you being told hours of birth information? I am every evening. It's the same for my husband. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, mine too.
Yeah. But like I say, he really enjoyed, like, you know, learning all these different bits. And then I was obviously sharing, like, Instagram stuff. And then whilst he was, like, on his breaks at work, he'd be, like, looking through them and writing back to me on different ones, or he'd make a mental note and then he'd be discussing them with me. And have you seen this? And then we were just sharing loads of positive birth videos different sites. And yeah, I suppose just kind of, like, keeping the affirmations positive and, like, not like toxic positivity, because we did have a very frank conversation, actually, which I forgot to mention. So when we didn't really get interrogated by family or anything like that, but I think I'm kind of like a always prepared type of person, so it was like, you know, it's not an easy conversation. So, you know, if our baby was to die during birth, you know, we fully take responsibility for the fact that we made that decision with the best interests. We don't agree that that a baby should be kind of molested as soon as it's born to breathe if it's not going to function for life. Like, that is really sad. Really sad. But that is kind of how it was meant to be. Maybe I would feel different if I had lost a child, and I'm not kind, you know, I'm not in any way talking that down or whatever someone's decision is. That's perfectly fine for them, 150%. But for us, that's just not, wasn't an option. You know, we just, we wanted that to be just us. And it was a hard conversation because it, because obviously at that point, then you get loads of doubt and it's like, oh shit, if it died, then, you know, we've killed our baby, and like all the kind of negative talk really becomes quite strong. But I think, again, that's where, like, you know, we discussed it and we were just like, you know, we don't need to lay a lot of conversation on this. We know what the facts are. Let's remain positive and go back to our positive affirmations. And we know that, we knew that it was going to be okay.
I think it's really good. I think we have to have these conversations. We, you know, we're capable of having hard conversations together. And I think it's a process of going through those difficult feelings with it to come out the other side, to go, do you know what, I'm still okay with this decision, or I'm not. It might change it for some people, but if you don't go there, I think the topic of death is going to come up at some point. I'd rather it came up before I was in labor personally, you know. I'd rather we had those kind, and you know, death isn't always the worst thing either for some people. It's like, I think we have a real great capacity for dealing with death. Nobody wants to, particularly. It's not like you would choose that for your child, but I think having these honest conversations about, okay, well, if my child was to die, how would I want that to be for them? Like, do I want them being pumped full of everything in a hospital, or would I like them to be dying peacefully at home? Like, we have to address that, I think, especially in free birth. So
yeah,
it's good.
Yeah. And like you say, it wasn't a plan to fail. that's not, you know, but the doubt in the head makes you think you're planning for fail when you have that conversation. But I knew that it was the right one. It's weird.
Well, it makes you confront it, doesn't it? And then I think it really shows you what you want to do. Because, yeah, some people might have that conversation and go, oh, God, yeah, do you know what? This doesn't feel, I don't embody this decision. It doesn't feel right. But then for others, it is a case, you work through it. And then you kind of, like you say, well, we take responsibility for that then. And I think that's amazing that you had that conversation, because, God, you're so right. You don't want that fear or that question mark to come up during labor, and like, you've already done it, you know, you've already had that conversation. So yeah, that's so valuable, and a really good one to remind people who are kind of considering it themselves to think about, because we don't like thinking about death, obviously, but I think it's so necessary, even like with all birth, not even just free birth. I think one of
them, I was going to say that.
Yeah, like it's like there's no, you know, it's a complete illusion to think that giving birth in a hospital means your baby's absolutely going to live. That's just not true. You know, we're not even seeing that in the kind of outcomes and the numbers we get from the stats and stuff like that. I mean, it's just not the case. But it's this idea, it's this illusion that like, oh, I'm in the place with all the things and all the stuff. And I mean, I know more people who come to home birth and free birth, like, they start to join the dots and see that, oh, actually, by being in these environments or whatever, having everything around me, that could be the cause of something that happens that then could have some knock-on effect and could result in harm or death, you know.
It's like the catalyst.
Exactly. But people don't, they don't tend to see it. So it's amazing you had those conversations. Was there anything, like, because it was kind of like December-y time and it was kind of getting on to like towards the end of December, did you get a lot of pressure from family members? Did you feel any more pressure? Because we hear about like induction rates rise because it's near Christmas, but it sounds like your at least team, like the midwives, weren't too pressury around you. But was there any factor in it for you, like around people like kind of going, oh, come on, I bet you want them to come before Christmas or anything like that? Or were you kind of quite left alone?
That element, I mean, I was, please don't come on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
You know, for God's sake, you know, or don't go over and then be like a New Year's Eve baby or a New Year's Day baby. But I say all this in jest, you know, you do not know the concept of Christmas Day or New Year's Eve or New Year's Day. Do you know, that's completely doesn't even factor into an infant, does it? Do you know, or newborn or whatever. You know, you just come when you feel like it is going to be safe to come. Whenever that is, then I'm happy. But yes, there was a joke about it all the time. But, you know, people know that I don't kind of do things, quote unquote, normal anyway. So, like, I didn't have any questions from family, like, are you going to have an Don't even ask me that question. Thanks.
Brilliant. That's good.
I'm not even interested.
Yeah.
And yeah, no.
No, that's good. I like you were clear and they knew and they understood and there was an understanding. That's good.
Yeah, never got asked because it would just never be an option. You know, no one can poke and prod something that needs to be in there to cook, you know? Every time I kind of seen any family and friends or whatnot, they just had a science lesson off me. And they're like, for God's sake, Andrina, do you talk about anything else? And I'm like, no, because this is happening to me. And it is really like, I think it's bloody magic, if I'm honest. Not just me, you know, like any woman who's creating life. It is literally magic on earth. It's just phenomenal to me. Phenomenal.
So go on then, like what was the first, how did it start? Let's get into it then.
Okay, so it was Saturday night and I had quite a disruptive sleep. I had like period pains and, you know, you're googling like, is it Braxton Hicks? And obviously I've never experienced birth before, so I don't really know what I'm trying to feel within myself. People can explain it, can't they? And you just don't know.
Yeah.
So I'm having these like period pains because that's like the closest thing that I can link it to, and I am somebody who has suffered with period pain badly. I've always had really heavy, really painful periods, but these were not as bad. And I'm thinking, well, it can't be delivering a baby because I've had periods more painful. But it was keeping me awake and I was being like disturbed. But I managed to get off to sleep and then I'd wake up. You wake up all the time weeing anyway, don't you, pregnant? And I'm thinking, I don't know. Anyway, Sunday came and I just had a normal Sunday. Woke up, had food, just normal Sunday, fine, no problem, no bother. And then Sunday night came and I had period pain again. But this time it wasn't really as painful. A little bit of lower back kind of, I don't really know the disc, maybe pressure. I don't know, just ache. But the period pain was a lot, lot less. And managed to get a good night's sleep, really. All in all, just wake up, that's a bit niggly, back to sleep.
Great.
And then woke up. And Jamie's laid next to me with his morning glory. And I thought, hello, darling.
Oh, amazing.
So I said about that task.
You did. Amazing. You were on this oxytocin hunt, I can tell.
Yeah. And it was probably one of our best sequences. And then I had this really bad period pain, literally like orgasm finished, period pain immediately started. And it lasted for about 25 minutes.
Whoa,
but it was, but like on a scale of 1 to 10, it was only maybe like 3 or 4.
Okay.
But it lasted for a long time. Anyway, I'm saying to Jamie, I've got this fit. Oh, I don't know. Anyway, and he only works 3 minutes up the road. So he said to me, do I go or don't I go? And I said, well, it could be nothing. Just go, but don't go. He's a vehicle dismantler, so he takes scrapyards. So I said, don't go to the scrapyard because you will be far too far away from me. All right, no worries. So he went to work. So we've gone from 8 o'clock, orgasm finished, if you like, 25 minutes. Jamie's gone to work. He mustn't have been work very long. I'm going to skip a bit. So then I go get ready and I'm getting all my clobber on, ready to go out and do the horses. And I'm thinking, I don't know if it's wise really to go outside and do the horses while I'm having this kind of pain. Anyway, I go and say good morning to the dogs. I'm in the living room with them, big cuddles and whatnot. And then the pain goes off and I'm like, oh, right, okay. And then it came back again after 3 minutes. And then it went again and I don't remember there being any other window other than just this 3 minute gap. So I'm obviously like cuddling and loving the doggies and whatnot. And I text my friend Amy, who's got a horse here with me. And I said, I don't think I'll be outside this morning. I'll just sort them out a bit later on. Anyway, luckily she sorted them out for me because I didn't go back outside. Anyway, so I'm cuddling the dogs and whatnot. And I'm thinking, oh God, these are something. Are they something? I don't know if they're something. Anyway, come with me, doggies. We'll go and have a bath. So I got in the bath. I'm running the bath and I'm thinking, fucking hell. Yeah, maybe I'm overreacting. I don't know if I'm over, you know, you're questioning. Anyway, I rang Jamie up and I said, I think if you don't come home, I might have this baby before you get home. Because there were 3 minutes between and obviously, like, that's pretty, like, close, isn't it? And they were getting pretty painful. Anyway, Jamie came home and he filled up the birthing pool. And we'd not even like worked out how to put the connectors on. So I'm like trying to help him put these connectors on the back. Like, you know, a bit of a farce. But anyway, all the while I was in the bathroom, we've not got like a blind or anything. So the whole time I was in there, I kept my eyes shut because there was no way of blocking the light out. And obviously I know that you need to be in the dark to help all the hormones. So I thought, well, the best way to do it is just be blind. So I'm in the bath with the dogs, like I can't open my eyes, so I'm like helping him do these bath things with my eyes shut. Anyway, so I get into the birthing pool and I've got all real excited, like, telling you this.
Oh, I can tell. It's amazing.
Yay. Yeah, so get into the birth pool, and I just look like a complete dead, like, sausage. I'm just laid there, like... because I started to feel like each time a contraction came, or what I now know was a contraction, but at the time, I just, this wave of pain... I almost kind of like tensed, frowned, tensed, moved, like, and I was like trying to escape it, you know, moving away from it. I'm going, oh, like this. And I realized, like, kind of gave myself a little bit of like an internal like slap around the face. And I was like, stop escaping it. This is the process to meet your baby. Do you know, accept it, lay down. Let your body do what it needs to do, which I don't know why I said lay down, because all the way through my pregnancy, I was like, I am not laying down. I will not be on my back. But obviously, instinctively, it just told me what to do. So yeah. I laid in this pool for I don't know how many hours. It must have been from about 9:30 till 1 o'clock, and I'm just... like in this kind of like complete slump of myself. And Jamie keeps coming in and he's going, you okay? And I'm going, yes, don't talk to me. Like, I felt like if I've tensed anything, I would end up on this tense thing again. So anyway, it worked pretty well. Mentally, each time a contraction came, I was just like, this is another step closer to your baby. And, you know, like, this is the process to meeting whatever he or she is. You don't know what he or she, you know, and I'm having like all this like positive talk. Mm. But I'm also going, fuck. Oh, you survived it. You've got another one in a minute, you know, kind of like internal dialogue of like egging myself through it. And then all of a sudden, there was one I could not stay still with. And I just shot up into like a now hanging over the side of the birthing pool.
Mm.
And I was just like, ah, fucking hell. That was fucking painful. Do you know, like looking around the room, like, where's Jamie? Yeah. Come back. Because he was kind of in and out. He was reading books. And I told him, like, if you're on your phone, I'll kill you. Like, do not sit scrolling on your phone while I'm in labor. I will I will be so mad.
Yep.
So he's like, he doesn't read books. Jamie doesn't read books. So he's like pretending to flick through these books, which was quite funny. But anyway, he was out the room and obviously I'd shouted and he came in. And I just felt like I needed him, like, locked into my... His head needed to be locked into my shoulder. And every time, all the while that he was locked into my shoulder, felt like, I don't know, like I was, like, dragging energy off him. You know, like, you're helping me deliver this baby, like, whether it's energetically or not. Like, I needed it. And then in between, he would, like, I don't know, go off and get me some water or whatever. But which, by the way, I knew about that. Like, I needed to wee during birth because it obviously helps like create like the space and whatnot. But I do not remember weeing once in my entire, in the whole thing.
Yeah.
Even when I'm leaving like the placenta. And anyway, but I don't know whether maybe it just happened while I was in the water and I didn't know. But I didn't get a mucousy plug shut. I didn't get waters broken. Okay. Literally, it was just the pain. And so I'm hanging over and I'm having all these contractions. Well, I say all these, there wasn't even like that many really. I'm screaming, obviously. I was quite a vocal birther. I felt like I could feel her head. I felt like I could feel that her head was there. And I sent Jamie round to the backside of me. And I said, what can you see? And he was like, your arsehole looks like it's turning inside. I was like, you don't want to know that. I was like, that'll be fine. I'm on about my vagina. Can you see a head or not? And he was like, I can't see because of, you know, the position I was in. And I couldn't lift my bottom up any higher to show him because it just didn't feel right to do that. And, you know, I wanted him to see. It wasn't that I was bothered. It was that was the incorrect position for my body. So there was that. Thanks, Jamie. And then he's like, that's it. He's like scooping poo out of the thing and he's saying to me, bloody hell, all these golden nuggets, if there were money, we'd be a millionaire, wouldn't we? Like this. And I'm like, thank you. So he's trying to be like comical and pick my oxytocin up and whatnot. But each time I have a contraction, I'm like, get back here. You need to be in this like interlock position with his head like in the like crevice of my shoulder. And anyway, then I can feel her like moving down through my pelvis, which was just like, wow. Like, I feel like women who don't get to feel that are like deprived. It's weird, magically, just wow.
Yeah.
Just, no, what there are no words to describe it. It was just like, so I'm going to Jamie, oh, I can feel her in my pelvis. I can feel her moving and she's rotating and that, like this, like explaining every single bit to him as it's happening. And then I could feel that she was like crowning and I was like, holy fucking shit, that is painful. Like, but like all manageable, do you know, it wasn't at any point, I didn't think, shit, I can't do this, it's painful. It was like, you know, it's just, you know, not beat around the bush. It's painful, isn't it? Like, it's a painful process, but it was doable. Anyway, as she was crowning and then her head came out, obviously now on hindsight, I realise, well, I knew anyway, but in the moment, again, you just do what feels right. And I know that they kind of like come in and out like a piston and they're moving like through the birth canal. But as her head kind of like came out-ish, I could feel it then went back in. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what do you mean? That was supposed to be the one where you came out. So I felt like I had this like expectation that I didn't have prior to it, that I only had during, of like her head needs to come out this next one. Mm-hmm. Which was really bizarre, because like I say, I knew that I didn't want to do that. I knew that my body pushes, I don't push, you know, let it carry me. But anyway, the next push came and her head was nearly out and my contraction finished and I went, and then it came out and it also tore me to my bum hole, which I literally screamed and I was like, fucking hell, that was painful. But I would still do it all over again, anyone who's listening. And I then could feel her rotate a little bit more. She obviously just got herself in position. So all the while, she's still under the water, heads out. Jamie was like, what do we do? What do we do? And I was like, it's fine. Like, calm down. We just wait until the next contraction. Like, whatever. She's not come out of the water yet, so she's cool. And then the next contraction, she came out. I collected her from the front of me. So at this point, I'd like put one knee up and that contraction like collected her and then just brought her up onto my chest. And like goosebumps. It was just, and I was so calm. I was just so like, done this, you know, we're here, you're safe. And then Jamie was like, What is it?
Oh, yeah, he didn't know.
He's going, I can't believe what's just happened. What is it? So I lifted her away from me and obviously said she's a girl and she shouted at me. So I was like, oh, sorry. Back here. Yeah. And she was really not very vocal, but she was breathing and she was happy. And I could obviously feel, obviously I could feel that she was breathing and whatnot, but I could just feel that she was okay. She felt lovely. She was really pink. Really, really pink. I was expecting this like little blue baby to come out because that's what I'd seen like a majority of. And I was like, wow, she is so like red pink. Really, really. I'd not seen any like that before, but I just still knew she was fine. She was happy. And Jamie's going, what do you need? What do you want? What do you need? Do you need anything? And I'm going, babe, we're fine. We've got you. She's got me. We're okay. It's okay. The water's still warm for now. So he's like, he wants to just assist in some way. Like, what can he now do? Yeah. You know? So then he's like, there's these brilliant white towels right in front of us. I don't know why he got those ones out. and he's like, I don't care. I'll buy you 50 more. And I was like, how about we just get the purple one that's just there? The purple one that won't mark and we don't need to buy 50 more. he put that on her. But I didn't want to take the Vernex off. So I was really kind of like adverse to getting anything on her real quick. But the room was a bit cold and the water was now getting a little bit cold. So we popped that on the back of her and just like scooped some warm water over her and just kept her a bit warm. He was running me a bath and I just felt so much pressure in my, in my gooch, you know, like between my vagina and my bum hole. It just felt like pressure, like just a heaviness. There wasn't really any like stinging or any pain. It was just weight. So I knew that my placenta or some, oh, sorry, I missed out. I could feel the waters break. Sorry, before when her head came down, I felt the waters like just shoot past my knees. So the waters broke just before her head came out. Sorry, I'm remembering things like, not in chronological order.
That's all right. It all just fires off in your mind, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. So he's running the bath, and the pool is like completely like red. Mm. I'm pretty aware that I've like ripped. Mm-hmm. Don't know like how bad, but I know that I've ripped. And but like I say, like it's not painful. It was just this weight. Mm-hmm. So I get into the can't climb out. And I look like I've, because there's still kind of like half a bag of like her amniotic sac just like hanging out of me. Looked like a bollock. It was really, really, really long bloody bollock.
Lovely. Yep.
So we had a good laugh about that.
Yeah.
And went through to the bath and got in the bath, and she like latched onto me quite happily, which was the breast that I've previously had pierced, that I was a bit worried because there's quite a bit of scar tissue there. But that was the breast that she latched onto first. And she didn't really kind of like stay there for long. She was on and then she was off and then she was on and she was off. But I thought she's just getting used to like what this is. It's all new, isn't it? You know, no pressure. Except for just in my gooch, which was really, really heavy. And I couldn't sit down. So I'm like squatted in a bath, holding a baby, and I just delivered. So, like, my legs were already aching like mad. Yeah. And Jamie's like, what can I do? What can I do? And I'm like, I don't really know, because I need to just wait until the contractions come so I can, like, deliver my placenta. Just waited. And it was painful, achy, weight pain. So Jamie's saying, should we ring the midwives and let them know? And I'm like, no, I just want to just kind of like have this moment with you guys for now. So we had about half an hour, 40 minutes just in the bath together. Obviously Jamie not in the bath, he was just sat next to us. And then I said, we probably should really like tick the boxes now, shouldn't we? Which, again, on hindsight, I wish I didn't do, but hey ho. So I rang them up, and I rang the midwife. Jamie couldn't talk. Jamie was just still like, oh my God, we've had a baby. Like this. So he got the phone, he's holding it at me. We're on loudspeaker. So I ring up and I'm like, hi, how are you? And she's like, yeah, I'm good, thanks. How are you? And she's like, I've just had a baby. And she's like, pardon? I said, I've just had a baby. So she was like, what, just now? And I said, yeah. And she said, what, on your own? So I said, yeah, we had a free birth at home. She was like, I think you are the most calm mum I've ever heard. And I was I was like, well, why wouldn't I be calm? My daughter's fine and I'm fine. So, like, we just know that you're supposed to, like, come and see us, aren't you, or something. So she was like, yeah. She said, have you birthed your placenta? So I said, no. So she said, you're going to have to send ambulance staff. Oh. So I was like, right, all right, whatever. Anyway, the staff member was someone I used to work with.
No way. Oh, yeah, because you worked in that. Yeah, no way.
Well, actually, I used to work with him at the leisure centre as a swimming instructor and a lifeguard. He just went on to doing paramedicing after I'd been on the ambulance service as an emergency care assistant. So when he arrived, he was like, hello, walking down the corridor. And I was like, hi. He said, and I recognised it. And I said, is that Al? And he went, no, it's Callum. I went, oh, God. I said, come in. I'm only nude. Like this. I was like, you get to be the first person to meet my baby. Like this. And it was like, Andrina, honestly, you know, you never surprised me. So he said, let's get baby out. He said, let's get baby out. We'll get the cord cut and we'll get clothes on. And I went, Callum. I said, you know me. I said, no. He said, well, what can I do? So I said, you can do some obs if you want. I said, you can see if she's got oxygen, which we can both tell she has. And you can do my blood pressure if you really feel like it. So my blood pressure was fine and she had 100% oxygen. So it meant that he'd done his job, you know, tick the box, whatever. Yeah. Which, again, I wouldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
But it was only like a little it was just a little like band on her foot, so
yeah, sure,
you know. For me it wasn't invasive.
Yeah.
So he's like, so what do you want me to do then? And I said, nothing, I just gotta wait until I can birth this placenta, can't I? So he's like, all right then, yeah, no worries. So he said, well, we can't leave until the midwives get here because the midwives have to certify that you're okay. So I was like, all right, Jamie, do you want to make him a cup of tea then? No, we're fine, like this. So he said, you look like you're in a bit of pain though, Andrina. Do you want me to at least get my waterproof mat thing and I'll put it on your bed and you can go to your bed? So I was like, do you know what? I think I would really like that. Yeah, please. Get my dressing gown on me and just, you know, my legs were burning at this point. But I really couldn't sit down on my bum in the bath. But I could lay back in my bed. That was great. Yeah. But all the while, still not done away. Anyway, I'm laid in the bed, legs akimbo, baby on me, like fleecy blankets and whatnot. And then the midwife turned up and she walked past. So the door to the bedroom is like at the head of the bed. And then she like just walked straight in, straight down to the foot of the bed, and then spoke to me from my vagina end. So I just went, oh, hello. I said, welcome to my room and my vagina, like this. I was like, you know, when you're just like, wow, okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, she said, yes. And she said, right then, let's get your placenta out. Let's get baby dressed. Let's da 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 da. And I said, excuse me. I said, can I just stop you there? I said, I'm really sorry, but I don't want you to mess with me or my baby. The only reason why you're here is because I know that it's protocol. Or I think, or thought, that's what I thought was protocol. So, you know, all I need you to say is that she's okay and that I'm okay. So she said, well, you don't want you to birth your placenta because obviously umbilical cord's still attached. And we're nearly 2 hours now after having baby at this point. And she said, you don't want me to cut the cord. So I was like, no, definitely not. Absolutely not. She was like, well, I'd just like to know, why is that? So I said, because I want my baby to have absolutely everything she possibly can get from her placenta before I detach it. So she said, well, that's normally only for what was it, like 20 minutes or something like that. And I was like, well, that's bullshit, isn't it?
You know, I mean, who are you to put a timeline on that anyway? Like, that can be as long as you want it to be.
Yeah. Yeah. I think really she came in with like the mentality of, I'm here now, I can save you.
Yeah.
And I didn't need saving, you know, I literally was just ticking a box. I was more than happy where we were, what we were doing. You know, I didn't want anything, you know, again, on hindsight, if you don't want anything, don't invite them. But hey ho. We live and learn.
Exactly. Yeah, and people listening to this will definitely get an understanding of that, which is great. But yeah.
So it just reiterated to me though, like, how much I made the right choice not having them there, because like that kind of like, I'll rescue you attitude, walking straight down to like my, I mean, I'm not, you know, precious about my body. I'm quite like, whatever, I'll walk around nude, I'm not bothered. But that's only luckily. Other women aren't like that.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Stand
yeah.
at my head. Say hello.
Yeah.
Are you all right for me to go down to my backside? You know? Would have been polite and would have been like, I think, like a common way of practice, like being educated, and it clearly wasn't. It was just like, I'm coming in. This is my area. Anyway, like I say, luckily I'm not bothered, so I just made a joke of it and probably made her feel uncomfortable because of that joke. But my placenta, I was starting to have contractions and my placenta was flopping in and out of me. It was really gross. It was like slightly coming out and then just sucking back in.
Really?
And she was like, do you not want me to just pull it out? And I was like, absolutely not. Why would I want you to do that? Like, what if it tears up? Like, no, I need my body to, my body needs to push this out. So maybe like four more contractions later, which they're not quite as regular, or mine weren't quite as regular as like there were more bigger gaps between each contraction. And you know, the next one came and it came, and I was convinced it had come out. So Jamie's watching. Jamie's still in there. Jamie does not like being watched. So he felt really uncomfortable with the midwife staff there. Mm. But he wasn't complaining or anything. He just, I could just tell. I know my partner and I could just tell.
Yeah.
And I went, oh, it's out. And he went, no, baby. And he went back in. And I was like, no, it's gone out and it's gone underneath my butt. And he was like, no, I watched it go back in. I was convinced that it had come out.
Yeah.
And I was obviously like longing for it to come out.
Yeah.
Anyway, she said, what about if we just like hold on to it? If you push. But again, in hindsight, I needed to get up, move, pee, and I could push it out myself. Mm-hmm. But not pushed it out. It had come out on its own. But I'm laid on my back in baby land, just had a newborn, not thinking about any kind of like education that I'd like given myself prior to this point, just totally like, oh, look at this little tiny thing, and she's sucking on my boob and it's amazing. Like, oh, there's a contraction, it's slopped in and out, back into baby land again.
Yeah.
I should have been educated by her to stand up, use gravity, and have a pee. Mm. Like that is what was what was needed. Anyway.
Yeah.
Jamie held on. So I had a contraction. It kind of came out. Jamie just supported it. So it didn't slot back in, and then next contraction. So I did still push it out. He just stopped it from going back in my body.
Yeah.
So I was quite happy with that. And then my placenta was taken off because I ate it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You say that so, like it's weird, but I mean, we love that here. Yeah.
Good. Everybody's like, what?
No, you're in good
color. No, this is good.
Amazing.
Yeah. So he took that off. No, he didn't take that off at all. Sorry, because she was still attached.
Mm.
So then we wanted to burn the cord.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, but the whole watch thing, the midwives had never seen it before. So Jamie's burning away and they take a long time to burn, which
they
I didn't know.
They do, don't they? Surprisingly
moly.
Yeah.
Yeah. They should use it as a fire retardant, that stuff, shouldn't they? it took ages, but obviously Jamie's feeling very watched, and I wanted, you know, we wanted him to do it. I'm obviously holding baby and like making sure that blah blah blah. And the midwives are both like,
yeah,
watch it. And in the end he was like, I can't deal with this. You know, it just felt so observed.
Yeah.
And so you know, it's as much a thing for them as it is for us, isn't it? At the end of the day, So I didn't put any pressure on. I was like, well, if you want to cut it, babe, it's fine. She's had 2 and a bit hours now attached. Like we were going to cauterize it anyway. The only real reason I wanted to cauterize it instead of clipping it was just comfort. Like I didn't want her to have that clip on. Just felt medicalized as well. Like I felt like cauterizing was just more like, I don't know, with the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And he cut it. We clamped it. He cut it. And then he took the placenta away and froze it. That's her and placenta born, isn't it? Yeah.
Mm, amazing. How long did they stay then? Did they leave you fairly soon? Or did they?
She insisted that Rose had a hat put on her.
Really?
Oh, wow.
After all of that, like, what is the sense?
Had to get in somewhere.
Yeah. She had to have some input. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. She insisted that that she put a hat on.
Right.
So I just thought, put the fucking hat on, and when they leave, I'll take the hat off. Again, in hindsight, I was just avoiding friction. Which is shitty, but I mean, it wasn't detrimental to our health. So.
Pick your battles, don't you? But it makes me laugh. Like she'd run back to her kind of group of fellow midwives and go like, you know, oh yeah, I've got this call. This woman, she birthed her baby at home without anyone there and did everything herself. But thank God I was there because like, she didn't have a hat on her baby. But it's all right because I brought one in.
Literally, yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Like all my training in those moments. Yeah, like thank God. But yeah, it's madness, isn't it? It's madness.
Yeah, Yeah. Bearing in mind, we're still skin on skin, right? Yeah. We stayed skin on skin for 7 hours, right? Nice. She did not come off my body for 7 hours. Daddy didn't even touch her because he was trying to, he's just getting everything sorted, you know. Mm. Oh, you need this. Oh, you need that. Oh, you need food. Oh, you need this. You know, he's just trying to be like and I'm going, don't you want to cuddle her? And he's like, oh. No, she's fine on you. I just need to do this and that and the other. And he's cooing over and coming over to us and you know, loving on us and whatnot. But he was just like, no, she needs you. And then I needed a shower 7 hours later. Yeah. I was like, no, your turn. I need to wash my body. I feel bloody. which I wasn't really, but just after being in the bath with the blood and obviously like the placenta feeling like it had like gone back under me, you just need a wash, don't you?
I was gonna ask about your tear, like how are you feeling, and did you want anybody to check?
That's good because I'd forgotten about that. So I had a second degree tear. So this actually goes on to what Victoria was just asking me as well. So once we'd cut the cord and placenta had gone, she was like, do you want me to have a look and check you out? So I was like, no, I'm all right. I think I'm fine. And she was like, are you sure? And I was like, yeah, I think I'm fine. Are you sure you're sure? So... in the end, I got pushed into being inspected. Mm. And I tell you what, I was so nervous for that. Mm. It felt so out of control. I wanted to wash it myself and look myself. Mm-hmm. I felt capable of doing that. But she was like, well, what if your tear has gone through into your bum hole?
Mm-hmm.
And you are going to poo basically through your vagina. Mm. So I was like, all right, okay, yeah, that sounds like a fair argument. So I agreed to letting her put her finger in my bottom to feel to see if there was a tear or not.
Yeah.
Which really I don't think is that bad, you know, to make sure I haven't got a tear all the way through. She did originally inspect my vagina itself. She like gave it a wipe up and had a look that way. But she was like, fingers in and like pulling it apart, and I was like, nah, you're not gonna do that now. Mm-hmm. Like, go away from that area, it's very delicate. So I refused that, and she said that going in my bottom was the other way of distinguishing whether or not I had a tear there. And I thought, well, wouldn't that just be your first port of call rather than trying to rummage through the area that is actually damaged? Anyway, that's just my opinion.
Yeah, I guess they're trying to see if it extends beyond, and then I guess I mean, any of it, like, it's so invasive feeling, isn't it, after you've just given birth and you're so kind of tender and vulnerable still. And I mean, it's a personal call, like, if you want to get checked, like, I understand that, but also, like, you'd said no several times, you had a sense.
Oh, yeah.
I really think that those moments after birth too, I kind of think I certainly felt like really flooded with a sense of like, I'm very clear now on what I want and don't want. I have this, like, if I, you know, I already felt quite connected, but I feel now like I know what's happening. And it just sounds like you knew you didn't really need any kind of checking. But she just, again, like, for her, you know, she wanted to do something, you know.
So she obviously did this check, and then she was like, it's definitely a second degree tear, you're gonna need stitches. And I was, and then proceeded to just talk past me to the ambulance staff to go and get some gas and air. And I was like, whoa. What? I said, there's no way. I've just birthed this baby. This was the only time that I was heightened. I know I like tell the story as if like I had these heightened moments where I was maybe quite like aggressive or whatever. But this was the only time that I was like, whoa, like, I have just birthed a baby with no medication. I have nothing poisonous in my body to transfer to my baby. Now, I know gas and air is maybe like on the lower end of the scale, but I don't give a damn shit. Mm. Like, that is not coming near me.
Mm-hmm.
I said, what's the because I knew that it was like a straight tear because I'd gotten Jamie to take a photograph. Once she'd clean it, I'd seen it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, it was from the bottom of my vagina, it was like straight down. Mm-hmm. But just where I'm trying to describe it, you know, just at the bottom of the vagina here, mm-hmm. there was like a little nook off the side, and mm-hmm. then it went down to my bum hole. So it was basically straight, except for just the last bit was just off the side a little bit. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I said, well, I intend to be rested while I heal. I intend to spend a lot of time like sat and laid down, which is very alien to me anyway. Mm-hmm. But like that, I intend to do that to heal my body, and just give it a bit of time just to kind of get back to where something like where it was after doing this huge thing. So my legs are going to be short. Mm. Surely, you know, held together. Yeah. I don't know. I don't need stitches for that. Mm-hmm. And she was like, yeah, well, it might do, but it might not. And mm-hmm. Anyway, I just said, look, no, I'm just going to let it heal myself. Like, I trust that my body knows how to, like, ply itself back together. Mm-hmm. And it took about 5 months to mm-hmm. be what I call, like, fully, mm-hmm. fully healed. Mm-hmm. Like, we can have sex and mm-hmm. I'm not kind of, like, wincing because, like, it's, like, a sensitive area. Mm-hmm. you know, yeah. I did have... Just at the vagina part where the little nook off the side, it looked like a second like clitoris for mm-hmm. a couple of months, but then it just shrank away, just went away. Mm-hmm. It's now not there.
Amazing, yeah. Well, bodies are so capable of healing, aren't they? That skin in particular is so the capacity for that to knit back together and to heal itself. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Our bodies want to heal. Mm-hmm. Yes. We just need to give them the right
the environment circumstances. To do so.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Amazing. Yeah.
Had you had a pee at that point?
Oh, no. Yeah. You still not? No. Oh. When was the final? When did you wee then? Do you remember?
Did it come?
I finally went for a wee in the evening just before my shower. Mm-hmm. And it surprisingly didn't hurt at all. Okay. And then I had my shower. And obviously I'd like... broken the seal or whatever you call it when you're drinking. And I'd had another wee and I was like, holy crap, that burns. Mm-hmm. And I had a labial tear that I didn't it was like a stretch mark tear, you know, not like a tear through. Fucking hell, that is way more painful than anything that I'd experienced during the birth.
Wow.
Like so bad. So I spent the next couple of weeks weeing in the shower with the shower head on me. So every single time I went for a wee. But another thing to add, just that I wanted to mention, the lady the midwife who came, who rubbed me up the wrong way, let's say, actually was the lady who came the next day. And my first night with Rose was a bit stressful because she was quite upset. I didn't feel like I was producing enough milk, and I ended up resorting to give her a bottle, which I really did not want to do, but she was so stressed I just didn't know what else to do. And the next day my midwife came and she said, you know, how's everything been? And I said, I just don't think that my boobs work. And she said get them out. So I did, and she hurt. Anyway, the tiniest little droplet of milk came out of it. It was honestly tiny. And she went, what's wrong with that? So I said, well, surely that can't feed my baby. And she said, your baby has put brown fat on it in the last part of its gestational period. That is so that it can give you time to produce the milk you need to. Put that baby on as much as you can. On, off. On, off, on, off the boob. As much as she will latch that baby. Skin on skin, as much as you can. And you will produce milk. You know, there's only like 2% of the population or something that can't. And you always think you are that one, don't you?
Yeah.
You know? And do you know what? I love that lady for doing that. Because within 12 hours, my boobs just went... totally like fired up. I mean, I nearly got mastitis in one breast because it just filled up that fast, that much. And it was the one with the with the scarred nipple.
Oh, okay.
And yeah. I couldn't pump or anything like that. Mm. Like, I still can't to this day, and I'm still breastfeeding her. We're a year on, exclusively amazing. Breastfed. And you know, I love that. She's redeemed herself from the day of birth.
You had some
believe in my body in that way.
Yeah, that's good.
I think some midwives are like, I don't know, as some people are just better at some things than others. I think we can really forget that about people, that they've got certain skills, and it sounds like, you know, coming in directly after the birth wasn't necessarily her strong point, but amazing that she could support you with feeding.
Yeah. I mean, we had no problem with latching or anything like that. I mean, I had sore boobs and they hurt and they were, you know, but my boobs have never done that job before, so I'm just guessing they were like getting used to that job. But a bit of nipple cream, and I used to leave my boobs to like leak into the pads, and then I'd leave the wet breast milky pads on the nipples, because breast milk's the best thing for healing, isn't it? Yeah. And I was trying to put a bit of breast milk in my baths once I was able to kind of produce a bit. But even up to this day, if I pump, I can only pump about 2 ounces.
Oh, there's such a difference.
Lost any weight.
Yeah. No, there's a total difference between like your body's response to your baby versus your body's response to an instrument, you know, like an object. Yeah. Like, it'll never make, but then it's really misleading, isn't it? Because you can pump and go, oh my God, is that all they're getting? And it's like, no, they'll be getting tons. No. And it's such a, you know, we don't have a boob with a little level on the side that where we can see how much they've drained, unfortunately. Yeah. And they've got such tiny tummies, like, you know, they'll totally eat little and often. But it is, it's one to get your head around. And I mean, again, I think it's something that can feel like, oh, I'll just know what to do and it'll be fine. And then for many of us, it was for me, it can feel like, oh my God, this is so much harder than I thought. You know, this isn't easy. And I mean, some do, I think, find it easier. But yeah, I was the same of like basically screaming into a pillow with how painful it was. But then we got over that and, you know, got better support, worked things out, everything else. But well, I'm glad you had some decent words to share with you. That's good.
I like I said, without that, I would have ended up doing what I've heard other people doing, you know. Oh, I'm just, you know, my boobs just don't work. And I'm thinking, no, they do. You just didn't give them a chance. You wanted to go to a coffee shop like within 2 days of having a baby rather than sitting and like being skin on skin and letting them latch as much, you know, sacrificing a bit of your time and not going out. You're like, let your body learn. Like, it's new. Give yourself some time.
Oh God. And I'm like, God, what an amazing thing to happen. And then there's a few days later, it's Christmas. I bet that was such a non-event for you, because you're like, yeah, I've just made a life, so who cares about Christmas?
It was nice, obviously, because obviously family came round and whatnot. I mean, I was, like I say, in bed a lot because of the perineal tear. Didn't want to be sat. Yeah. So like coming into the living room to sit just I was in the wrong position. When I was in bed, I could like prop all my pillows up. I was like laid back and I was happy. So I think, like you say, I'm in baby land and I'm in like pain, if you like, with my perineal tear, if I'm not in the right position. If I was in the right position, I was fine. Wrong position, no good. And you know, instinctively I just kept wanting to retreat back to the bedroom where I was comfy. Christmas was lovely, but it'll be so much better when we can like believe in Santa Claus and we're like going like venturing around and, you know,
I just wondered if family, like, or you know, when people heard that you'd free birthed, if they were surprised, shocked, what the reception was, really.
Everybody else just thinks I'm completely bonkers. How could you do that? Oh, I couldn't do that. Most men are wet and they're like, oh, I couldn't have supported my, I couldn't have seen that. And I just think, well, you're not a man, are you? Man or mouse. Support your woman. Sorry.
No, I get it.
That's good.
Yeah, I think it's good. I think people need to like, be told sometimes a bit of like, what you're doing. If you're against it, then you're really against your partner and what they want to do. You know, I think you've got to, you got to look at that, like, you know.
I think your missus has not got a choice. She's going to have to push a baby out or, you know, or in some way go through some kind of ordeal. She's either going to have to push a baby out or she's going to be cut open and someone's going to drag it out of the belly. The least you can do is stand on your own two feet and say, I will stand up and support you through this, you know. Otherwise, you're a mouse, in my opinion.
Yeah. I like it. I like you straight talking. I mean, that's been a theme throughout, like you said at the beginning, you know, your personality and everything, you're so kind of, you can really, you know what you want and you're not afraid to say it, you know, and to tell people and everything. I think that's great. And yeah, like you said, it's the ones that find that tricky to do. It's a different sort of dynamic, isn't it? But yeah, how amazing. How amazing. You know, first time mom as well, doing a free birth, which I think is like, that's really pretty epic. And yeah, God, what an amazing story.
I'd definitely do it again.
What I also love is that, yeah, like we will ask him for, like, you know, oh, can we have a festive birth episode? We'll ask for someone who gave birth around Christmas. And like, it's just not really featured at all. But then it kind of, I love that too, because it's like, it's a very normal, boring free birth story. And it didn't actually even make a difference that it was anywhere near Christmas or anything like that.
No, this is it.
Just another month.
Yeah.
Just a day.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. Oh, thank you so, so much for sharing your story. And yeah, thanks for joining me and taking the time. You know, we really, really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate just, you know, being able to share it. I think the main thing for me is that, you know, people get out of this that they are capable, you know, and if it feels right for you, just believe that you are designed for this. Like, that is what you are designed for. You know, if you take it right back to the nitty-gritty. We are just a female human spawning more humans.
Beautifully put. Yes, I love that. Oh, amazing.
Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We do happy little dances whenever we remember that real life people are listening to and enjoying normal, boring free birth. If you have appreciated and enjoyed our show, please do drop us a DM on Instagram at normalboringfreebirth with your thoughts. You could also write a little review, share the podcast with your friends, and help us get the word out that free birth can be really quite normal and sometimes maybe a little bit boring.
And if you've been listening to this episode and thinking, actually, I think I do want a free birth, I just need a bit of support, you can work with me or Leonie. Check out our profiles on Instagram at freetobirth, that's me, Victoria, or Leonie at birthwise.withleonie. And don't forget, you can connect with both of us and other like-minded women at our Normal Boring Free Birth Facebook community. We'll see you there.